Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. We'll be taking your Bibles and turning back to John chapter 6 as we were this morning. We'll be picking up with verse 16 in just a moment. The elders have asked me to announce before we get into our lesson that rather than our men's business meeting be on Thursday evening, we're going to move it back one day to Friday evening at 6:30. So men's business meeting for this week will be on Friday evening at 6:30. So men, please keep that in mind this week. Our passage for tonight is John chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. If you will, begin reading that with me. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about five and twenty or thirty furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Here we have tonight our text for the second of four lessons from John 6, 1 through 71. This morning we discussed Jesus feeding the 5,000 men, and this one here is about Jesus walking on the water when disciples had a frightful night in a stormy sea. Now, while all four gospel accounts tell of Jesus feeding of the 5,000, Luke does not record this particular event, and Matthew is the only one to record Peter's having walked upon the water. Now, let us look at these events on the stormy sea, and then we'll notice some lessons from it. Okay, what did Jesus do here? We read in Matthew 14 and also in Mark chapter 6 that he had constrained, he made his disciples get into a boat and row to the other side. They didn't want to go. They wanted to stay with him, but Jesus said, you go, I'll stay, and I'll send the people away. And so he did just that. He made them get on the boat. He stayed there. He sent the people away. And we discussed a little bit this morning about how the people wanted to take Jesus by force and make him a king. But Jesus was successful in sending them away. After he sends them away, we find Jesus going into a mountain to pray. We read of that in Matthew 14 and verse 23, as well as Mark 6 and verse 46. And he goes there alone. John 6 and verse 15. He was going there to have a time alone to pray unto the Father. He finally comes to his disciples walking on the water, as we read there in verse 19. We see it as well in Matthew 14 and verse 26. When the disciples saw him, they believed it was a spirit. Mark 6 and verse 48 says that he would have passed them by. That is, he was not walking directly at them. He bid Peter to walk unto him, and finally he got into the boat, as we read in John 6 and verse 21. So we see what Jesus did there. Now, what about the disciples? What about how this affected them? What about their experience? Just think about what the disciples, what all they have been doing. They have returned from the limited commission. Just before they go out and they feed these 5,000. He takes them aside, Jesus takes them aside to rest. But here we find the crowds coming at the beginning of the chapter. And so they were not being left alone. They were not finding time to rest. They have fed the 5,000, and now Jesus says, get into a boat and you row. These were some tired men. They were weary. But now they needed to row to the other side of the sea, this lake, the Sea of Galilee. So this is possibly 7 miles wide that they're going to have to row. They'll have to do this by hand. We see their weariness then. We see their plight. The situation in which they find themselves, darkness falls. You see, evening had come when Jesus had looked out upon the 5,000 men. And they had fed them, so the darkness has fallen. And now as the darkness falls, we see the wind begin to blow and the sea rising around them. And we finally we see them straining against the sea unsuccessfully until the night was nearly gone. Jesus had been in the mountain praying. They're struggling, fighting against the wind, trying to get to the other side, and they're just not getting anywhere. And then we see their fear. When Jesus came walking to them on the water as though to pass by, what did they think he was? They thought he was a spirit. They were sorely afraid. They didn't know how to react. They cried out. They thought he was a ghost. They were scared. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Matthew 14 and verse 27. Peter challenged that a little bit. He said, "If it is you, bid me come." Verse 28 there of Matthew 14. So Jesus told him, "Come." Verse 29, and Peter walked on water. What do we see Peter doing? Peter gets out on the water a little ways and he begins to look around and he sees how boisterous the wind is. He sees the sea, how violent it is. And he begins to sink. You can't go any further. And so he cries out, "Lord, save me." Whereupon the Lord saved him. He reached out his hand, he grabbed Peter, and they got into the boat together. Matthew 14, 29 and 31. In our account here in John 6, we see that when Jesus entered the boat, the wind ceased immediately. And immediately the boat was at land. They had to struggle against the sea no longer. Now notice their reaction. We were to go and we were to look at these accounts in Matthew 14 and Mark 6, 51 and 52. What do we see the reaction being? They were amazed. Here are men that had been with him for some time. And yet we still find them being amazed by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, let's notice some illustrated truths about the disciples and their relationship to the Master. When we look at this event, we look at the disciples on this boat in the sea and it being a storm, we see an analogy of their experience, the disciples' experience, with our experiences now. The vessel and the crew would represent the church. The sea would represent the circumstances of life. The voyage would represent fulfilling the Lord's command, and the storm would represent the troubles that we have in this life, that stormy sea. So we can draw some analogies from this event. And then we see some things illustrated from the stormy night. Friends, some lessons that we can learn here is that sometimes the Lord wants us to do things maybe that we'd rather not. Wants us maybe to step outside of our comfort zone. He had to make the disciples leave him and enter that boat to go into the other side. They wanted to stay with Jesus. They wanted to stay right there with him, but he made them get into the boat. Sometimes, you know, we may find ourselves in situations we'd really rather not be in. Lord may command us through His Word that we need to do something maybe we're just not really comfortable with. It may be hard for us to sit down and study the Bible with someone, but you may be the only one that's able to reach that person. It may be hard for us to do some things, but sometimes that's what's required. We may sometimes, as the disciples wanted to stay in contact with Jesus, we may sometimes want to stay in contact with some folks, but by providence, the Lord directs us elsewhere. And it may be for our betterment. We don't know. Sometimes, the Lord wants us to do things maybe that we don't understand. You know, the disciples may well have wondered why Jesus wanted them to leave while He stayed with the crowds. They didn't know that His plan was to have time to go and pray by Himself. They may have wondered. They may have been confused about that. And friends, sometimes we often wonder, I'm sure, why our lives take certain turns. While it is not always the Lord's doing, it may sometimes be. It's not ours to question, but rather to do His bidding. Something else we can notice from our text here this evening is that sometimes obedience to the Lord places us in troublesome places. Now, if we were to go back and we were to read the 23rd Psalm, the writer there says that he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. That sounds like a pretty dark place, doesn't it? Here we find the disciples in obedience to the Lord, having gotten up on the boat and traveling across the sea, they found themselves in a pretty dark place. The sea was boisterous. They were being tossed about. I'm sure that they were fearful. They were scared about what they were going to do. But we see the Lord coming to their rescue, so to speak. You see, the disciples obeyed the Lord in going to the other side. But notice something here. Notice that Jesus did not guarantee them a windless sea. He did not guarantee them a trouble-free passage. Peter obeyed the Lord in stepping out of the boat to walk on the water, but the Lord did not guarantee him a windless sea. As Peter looked around and he saw that the wind was boisterous, he began to sink. And friends, also the Lord makes demands of us. But He doesn't promise that everything's going to be easy. There are going to be some things in this life that are hard. But friends, if we will rely upon Christ, everything's going to be all right. Peter knew that he could cry out to the Lord, and the Lord would save him. If we can rely upon the Lord, friends, we can have that same confidence. Doesn't mean that our lives on this earth may be saved, but friends, we can have confidence in our hope of heaven. That we can go and live with Him. Something else that we can see from our passage here is that sometimes the Lord leaves us to toil in darkness without maybe us really knowing of His watching from afar. Mark 6 and verse 48 says that they toiled from rowing. They were baffled with toil from rowing. The original Greek really gives us that meaning. They were baffled with toil from that rowing, not knowing that Jesus saw them from His mountaintop. He'd been watching them, seeing their struggles. And also, friends, we see from that we may be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we may seem to be gaining nothing, yet we know that Christ watches over His own. You know, Paul tells us in one of his letters to be not weary in well-doing. We said this morning to keep on keeping on. We have to stand fast in the faith. Friends, we see as well that sometimes the Lord may come to our aid in an awesome way. See, the disciples thought that they saw His Spirit walking on the water, comforting only in the sense that He would have passed them by. He wasn't walking directly toward them, and so it would have been less fearsome for them. Friends, there may be circumstances in our life that we don't understand until we're able to see the big picture. Sometimes it may take a stormy night in the sea of life for us to be amazed and to marvel at the Lord, to see what He does for us. You see, the disciples had a trusting relationship with the Lord. And yet they were still amazed at His power. As we see Peter crying out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." Friends, in that, I believe we can truly see the power of prayer. Crying out to the Lord, laying all things in His hands. Do we trust the Lord? Do we really know that He's going to take care of us, that He's going to provide, that He cares? Do we do what He says even if we don't understand? Do we realize that God knows best? There are many things that we can learn from this passage. I want us to notice the words of a couple of songs. We've sung before, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way." And that song really comes from this passage. He plants His footsteps in the sea, rides upon the storm. We see these different, these words in that song. And I believe it helps us to understand the awesome power of God. We sing the song, "God will take care of you." Do we really believe that when those words leave our lips? Do we understand that God is going to take care of His own? I want you to read with me Romans 8 and verse 28, and the lesson will be yours. Romans 8 and verse 28. Paul, writing to the Roman brethren here, says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Friends, regardless of what may be going on in our lives, even if we don't understand, we can have faith in these words from God. All things work together for good for them, to them that love the Lord. So we're putting away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, do you belong to the Lord tonight? Have you ever obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, why not? You see, God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to this earth to bleed and die upon the cross for the remission of your sins, for the remission of my sins. He's given us that gift. And we see Jesus in our passage tonight taking care of His own. Friends, would you allow His blood to wash away the stain of sin upon your soul? Would you allow Him to do that tonight? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Are you willing then to repent of your sin? To confess His name before men so that He will confess your name before the Father in heaven. And be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Would you do those things tonight? Are you here tonight having done those things? Have you fallen away? Have you allowed sin back into your life and even now living in sin? Friends, would you come home? Would you be His once more? Would you do so now while we stand and while we sing?